Split Second, written by David Baldacci and read by Scott Brick. The motorcade streamed into the tree-shaded parking lot, where it disgorged numerous people who looked hot, tired, and genuinely unhappy. The miniature army marched toward the ugly white brick building. The structure had been many things in its time and currently housed a decrepit funeral home that was thriving solely because there was no other such facility within 30 miles, and the dead, of course, had to go somewhere. Appropriately somber gentlemen in black suits stood next to hearses of the same color. A few bereaved trickled out the door, sobbing quietly into handkerchiefs. An old man in a tattered suit that was too large for him and wearing a battered, oily Stetson sat on a bench outside the front entrance, whittling. It was just that sort of a place, rural to the hilt, stock car racing and bluegrass ballads forever. The old fellow looked up curiously as the procession passed by with a tall, distinguished-looking man ceremoniously in the middle. The elderly gent just shook his head and grinned at this spectacle, showing the few tobacco-stained teeth he had left. Then he took a nip of refreshment from a flask pulled from his pocket and returned to his artful wood carving. The woman, in her early 30s and dressed in a black pantsuit, was in step behind the tall man. In the past, her heavy pistol in the belt holster had scraped uncomfortably against her side, causing a scab. As a solution, she'd sewn an extra layer of cloth into her blouses at that spot and learned to live with any lingering irritation. She'd overheard some of her men joke that all female agents should wear double shoulder holsters because it gave them a buxom look without expensive breast enhancement. Yes, testosterone was alive and well in her world. Secret Service Agent Michelle Maxwell was on the extreme fast track. She was not yet at the White House detail guarding the President of the United States, but she was close. Barely 9 years in the service and she was already a protection detail leader. Most agents spent a decade in the field doing investigative work before even graduating to protection detail as shift agents. Yet Michelle Maxwell was used to getting to places before other folks. This was her big preview before almost certain reassignment to the White House, and she was worried. This was an unscheduled stop, and that meant no advance team and limited backup. Yet because it was a last-minute change in plan, the plus side was no one could know they were going to be there. They reached the entrance and Michelle put a firm hand on the tall man's arm and told him to wait while they scoped things out. The place was quiet, smelled of death and despair, and quiet pockets of misery centered on coffins in each of the viewing rooms. She posted agents at various key points along the man's path, giving feet, as it was called in service parlance. Properly done, the simple act of having a professional with a gun and communication capability standing in a doorway could work wonders. She spoke into her walkie-talkie, and the tall man, John Bruno, was brought in. She led him down the hallway as gazes from the viewing rooms wandered to them. A politician and his entourage on the campaign trail were like a herd of elephants. They could travel nowhere lightly. They stomped the earth until it hurt with the weight of the guards, chiefs of staff, spokespersons, speechwriters, publicity folks, gophers, and others. It was a spectacle that, if it didn't make you laugh, would at least cause you considerable worry about the future of the country. John Bruno was running for the office of President of the United States, and he had absolutely no chance of winning.